Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Service. So, is everybody doing all righty? It's good to be back. It is good to be back. Again, North Carolina was wonderful. I really appreciate Roger. He did a great job. Didn't he do a great job last week? Well, I appreciate him. And it's awesome to have a church family that has so many people who can get up and edify and teach in the congregation. So I am blessed. I'm blessed because of you guys. And so I always want you to know how much I appreciate you. We've been going through the book of Acts. We're starting to kind of come to the home stretch here. We've been looking at the sermons that were preached through the book of Acts. And as we examine each sermon, we've been kind of looking at what was going on before and after and learning a few things, encouraging us. So last week we talked about the third missionary journey of Paul. And we have a map here because we're still on the third missionary journey of Paul. Last week Paul was committed, to go to Jerusalem, even though that he knew that going to Jerusalem, the Jews at Jerusalem were very upset that their guy who they had sent and commissioned to go and to wreak havoc on the church and to take them and to throw them in prison, to throw them in jail and to persecute the church, that, you know, something happened to their guy and now he's on the other team. You know, it was frustrating. I noticed that we were playing a series, the Cardinals were playing a series the other day, and I was just seeing on my little ESPN app that the pitcher, or they were pitching to Colton Wong, and I'm like, Colton Wong, he is our guy. What? He's from, I almost said the Wong team. No, he's playing for the wrong team, because I'm so used to Colton Wong being a Cardinal. It was weird to see him on the other side, and I this was kind of going on. So Paul was convinced that there was trouble waiting for him in Jerusalem, and yet he was so committed to the cause that he called the elders in Ephesus. This is what we talked about last, or 2 weeks ago. He called the elders of Ephesus and he preached a message to them basically saying, look, I am ready to go no matter what's going to happen. Okay? So, from there, Paul left. He sailed to Syria, where we kind of see him landing here. And Tyre, he lands there in Tyre, and he met with some of the disciples there. They urged him, look, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because the Jews were angry at you and what you're teaching. He was teaching that Gentiles now could be part of the kingdom of God and the people of God, and to bypass becoming Jewish. You know, so then Paul passed through Caesarea and he visited Philip, the evangelist there. And there's a prophet named Agabus. And Paul, he came down to visit Paul and he took his belt off him and tied him up and said, hey, this is what's going to happen to the owner of this belt. Okay. This is what they're going to do to you. And Paul said, nevertheless, I'm ready to go. I'm setting you up for our message today. So Paul was resolute in his journey to Jerusalem, and he declared that he was willing to suffer. Everybody say, willing to suffer. Are you willing to suffer for the message of Jesus Christ? I don't know, gang. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Am I willing to stay faithful to Christ when the heat gets turned up a little bit? This is an incredible message for us as we look at what's going on and we consider the times and days and age in which we live. So Paul goes on and he meets with the church in Jerusalem, and he learned that the Jews believed that he was teaching people to forsake the Jewish customs. And so he gets counsel to say, I want you to go through this Jewish ceremony, attempting to show that he's not teaching people to forsake Moses, but or defiling the temple by bringing Gentiles into it. So he was trying to appease them. And this huge crowd gathered together and they arrest Paul and they chain him up. And he asks for permission to address the crowd. And he does so in Hebrew. So that's where our message starts today. We're going to look at this message that Paul spoke to this crowd of Jews that were gathered together to persecute him. So let's look at Acts chapter 22, verse 1 through 2. We're going to be in chapter 22 today. So Paul starts out, says, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in what language, gang? So he was speaking their language. He says, they became even more quiet. You know, there are folks who won't listen to you as long as you refuse to speak to them in a language that they're going to understand. You realize that, gang? My first point for us today is this. Speak to people about Christ on their level. When Paul is talking, remember how a couple weeks ago we said to the Jew, he became as a Jew, to the Gentile, he became as a Gentile. He became all things to all people to win some to Christ. And that sometimes can make us uncomfortable. Just this past week, I was in North Carolina and we were in the town of Jacksonville, and I was watching a softball tournament in a time between Sunday service and then our evening activities. There was a softball game, and so I went and I kind of watched with our hosts, and they were losing really bad, and they said that I was bad luck, so I decided to take a walk and maybe, you know, kind of help them. And as I was taking this walk through this kind of wooded area, I came across one of the park workers, and I sat down under a little shed area, and he was there getting a rest. And there were some, you know, very big differences between us. Okay. Very, very big differences between us. And I just looked and I saw that he had a shovel, and I was like, man, shoveling's hard work, isn't it? And he's like, and I was like, look, you know, I tried to relate to him on his level and talk to him about, yeah, doing labor and doing things. And next thing you know, he was kind of shocked that I even talked to him. It was almost like he was used to people not talking to him or talking down to him. And so I wanted to let him know, hey, look, you have value. You have worth. I want to talk to you on your level. And we began a conversation. Then all of a sudden our conversation got more in depth and deeper. And he began to reveal things about what he was doing and some of the things that he did. And then slowly I took the conversation around. I always hate it when people ask me what I do, because then that always ends the conversation. If you say, oh, I'm a pastor, they're like, wow. So I tried to be kind of coy, to be honest. I tried not to reveal it, you know. I was like, I work for a very large entity that's involved in changing people's lives. I finally just like, look, I'm a minister, but you know, don't hold that against me. And he's like, no, that's cool. He opened up his whole life. It's like, you know what? Could you pray for me? The man just basically said, look, I struggle in my life. And he began to pour out areas of his life that he was struggling in sin and knew that something was wrong. And that doesn't happen if you just walk up and you don't talk to people about Christ on their level. And again, so it was a wonderful encounter. It was a great thing. And it reminds us always, brother, sister, I love that when you talk to people about Christ on their level, they're going to become even more quiet. Okay? So just remember that. This is the beauty of ministries like Fellowship of Christian Athletes. This is the beautiful of ministries that basically go to people on their level and find something that they have in common with them. It's the beauty of different groups that find encouragement and commonality and then bring Christ into those very real places. Talk to people about Jesus, but do it on their level. Let's go on here. So that's point one. Let's kind of continue in our story here. Because then Paul, and we got about four slides here. So we have 20 verses here. So I know we got a long reading, but just kind of listen here. Okay. So Paul is going to begin to relate his story. Everybody say his story. Okay. He says, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Sicilia. I brought up to this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. Listen to what he's doing. I mean, literally, they're attacking him. And what is he doing? He's paying them a compliment. He's like, you're zealous, and I understand your zealousness. Again, I'm not worthy to use my example, but I mean, this dude that I spoke with in North Carolina, he was sweaty and he had been working hard. And I tell you what, working hard is awesome and working hard is important. Say, look, yeah, I used to roof. I used to do, yeah, I get what I know. It's hard to shovel. It makes your back hurt. It does make your back hurt. Talk to people on their, he's giving them a compliment. You guys are passionate and I understand you're trying to be zealous for God. He goes, look, I persecuted this way, talking about Christians in Christianity. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. As the high priest and the whole council of the elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed towards Damascus to take also those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Let's go on to the next slide. We got four slides. This is slide number two. He says, as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now, those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that's appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. Let's move on. And one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all of the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Last slide is, let's kind of wrap this part up. He says, and when I had returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple. I fell into a trance and I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So let's hold that last statement for a second. So what is Paul doing here? Paul goes on to this very in-depth thing. Again, he's kind of recounting for us, you know, some of these events after chapter 9 about his conversion. Everybody say conversion. I want you to know this. Point two, know your story and share your story. Everyone has a story. You have a story. Now, you may not have, you know, some huge thing. Maybe God didn't deliver you from drugs, and God didn't deliver you from a life of crime and a life of violence. Okay? You don't need to have that. But everyone has been saved from something. Some of the most dramatic testimonies I know are not people who were delivered from, you know, from different types of addiction, but a different type of addiction. Self-righteousness. Being delivered from self-righteousness is just a powerful testimony. People who say, you know, I was good my whole... This is a powerful testimony. I was good my whole life, and I was raised in the church. And I still need Jesus to save my soul, to cleanse my sins, and to give me a new life. Hello. No different than the person who says, you know what? My entire life, I was a criminal. I took part in horrible things. I wrecked people's lives. And I understand that God gave me a new life. God gives us all new lives. People who are good still need a new life given to them. Hello. Pastor Mike, are you saying that good people can be lost? Yes, I'm saying that good people can be lost. I'm saying that everyone is lost. I'm telling you this. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is anybody in this room not a sinner? Anyone? Anyone here willing to stand before the Lord on your own merit? If not, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus, who takes from us the yoke of having to try to fix ourselves. Everyone has a testimony. Everyone in this room who's received Jesus as Savior and Lord, you got a testimony. Psalm 22:22 says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. It's important for us to share our testimony. And by the way, that is a beautiful sound. That is a beautiful sound. I love it. I love it. Praising God already. Never lie when sharing your testimony. Never exaggerate. Just because, you know, I get our Christian culture, sometimes we rally around and we love to tell the big dramatic stories. Oh, this person, you know, he was delivered from blah, 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 blah. And look what God's doing to him. Look, I'm one of those stories. I was a class A jerk. Some of you are like, you still haven't been delivered yet. No, me, don't be like that. Look, I've never hidden from the church my BC. Okay? I'm not proud of that point of my life. And so yes, God has done, but what I find is an amazing testimony. I married, my wife is always been a good person, always been a wonderful person. Her testimony is far more remarkable because I know how wicked and corrupt that I am. And she's been a good person her whole life. And she still says, I need Jesus. That's a powerful testimony. And I honor God for her. And I honor God for that. Didn't that come out okay? I didn't ask her if I could share that, so now I'll have to make my own lunch. You know what? Many more people here. Y'all good people. So many of you are going to relate far more to her than you're going to relate to me. For those of you who are going to relate to me, we'll have more fun. No. I'm just teasing. Boo. Now I'm going to have to get my lunch. No. No, God has delivered us and God has changed each one. Whether he delivers us from a horrible life of sin or he delivers us from a life of self-righteousness. The same is true. God saves us to the utmost and our salvation is found. So know your story and share your story. And so I got a question for you, you know, because Jesus said that, you know, if you're going to follow after me, you got to be born again. And I mean, this really messed with Nicodemus. This messed with him. You know, what do you mean being born again? God brings to us all the opportunity to have new life. So I have a question for everybody here today. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? How has God allowed you to be born again? He has shared, you know, Paul shares that Jesus changed him from his old life. And then he also shares that they're still passionate about the thing that he was delivered from. So he ends his message with talking about being sent to the Gentiles. Everybody say, uh-oh. Because this kind of points to a little of their prejudice there. And again, the Jews were fine with proselytizing Gentiles to become Jews. They were fine with that. What they weren't fine with were Christians taking the message of salvation and trying to claim that God's people could be Gentiles without them becoming Jews first. Okay, so let's look at Acts 22:22-25 as we wrap up our message today. Up to this word, talking about the crowd listening to Paul, up to this word, they listened to him. I want you to know, folks, that there are people who will listen to you until you touch their golden calf. Until you touch that thing. And then it begs a question. This is going to sound weird. What's my thing? What's that thing that if God was to come and touch, I'm like, you know what? Nope, 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 nope. God's fine, but I'm a Cubs fan. No. Sorry, Matt, had to do my dig. Cardinals have been rough on the Cubs this week. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then, once they talked about Gentiles, come across, once your worldview gets rocked, whoo, that becomes emotional. Look at the response. They raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust to the air, I mean, listen to this reaction. You know, it's like a school board meeting at times, what you're seeing anymore. So, this is kind of crazy. It's all like church board meetings where they used to be, okay? He said, look, you know, look, away with this thing. He shouldn't be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust to the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. So the Roman authorities were like, why are these people acting like that? Have you ever seen somebody lose it? Let me change that. Have you ever lost it? I'm embarrassed to say there are times that I have lost it. There are times that I wish I hadn't. I don't want to ever lose it. But the third and final point is this. Okay, people get upset when you challenge what they worship. I want you to listen to what I just said. People get upset when you challenge what they worship. I wanted to kind of change this around because a better way to phrase this is probably people get upset when you call out their idolatry. And I would say we are all prone. Everybody say prone, okay? We're all prone to make idols. We are prone to make idols. We make idols all the time. We enshrine things left and right. I hope that you understand that. When you challenge someone's golden calf, they get upset. And this is how we know it's a spiritual thing. It's a disproportionate response. Why didn't they just say, eh, and I'm just going to walk away? You know, there are times when you, let's just use this imagery, that somebody comes at you with something, let's say it's a level 5, and you respond level 10. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That is a red flag that there's something spiritual going on. I have sat in sermons where the preacher preached a good message and he wasn't targeting me. He wasn't doing anything. I have listened to message that my blood pressure goes up and I get mad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just get mad. And it's why? Because it's shining a light onto something that is out of order in my life. And it's a disproportionate response. Anybody ever get mad at the preacher? Come on, I see your face every Sunday. I'm going to go out the other door. I'm going to write him an email. I'm going to go to the coffee shop. Not only may they not want to receive it, but they may want to thwart anyone else from receiving it. I mean, the people, not only when you challenge their golden calf, they want to shut everything down because spiritual issues cause disproportionate reactions. Okay, gang? And poor reactions to sharing Christ do not necessarily mean you did something wrong. Paul didn't do anything wrong here. He didn't do anything wrong. What he did was he touched their golden calf. And when you touch their golden calf, people can get upset. When you challenge strongholds, why? Because there are evil spirits at play. There are demons. There are things that are set up that are spiritual. And Paul realizes that this comment may anger them, but he is committed to a multi-ethnic inclusivity as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's part of the good news. Is God comes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, everybody just say whosoever, whosoever, that annoying neighbor that drives me crazy, he could be an inheritance to salvation. Yep. That person who votes different than me, they could be an heir to salvation. Yep. That person who God loves people whom I hate. Yep. Paul realizes this. So gang, I want you to understand, when people get upset, build that bridge. Speak to people on a level that's their level. Find a way to take those conversations and then bring Christ into them. Develop them. Share Christ in a powerful way. Know your story and share your story. And if you are unsure about your story, hey, let's have a cup of coffee and let's talk about it. If you're not assured that, look, I'm born again. I'm walking a new life. Let's talk. And let's make sure we understand that. And finally, understand this. When you do share Christ, there are conversations that when you speak the truth is going to set some folks free, but the truth sometimes makes folks mad. When you touch golden calves, people can get upset. But that should never dissuade us. Learn the lesson from Paul. Don't be dissuaded when the world rejects godly truths. Stand to your feet and let's pray together. Worship team, come back up, please. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us today. We just appreciate you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that the message of the gospel, the good news, is to all people. Father, I pray that you would help us have sensitivity. And even as you have come to us and you've offered us, you know, freely the ability to receive the gospel, the ability to have change, Lord, you're allowing that for everyone. Help us to be sensitive to reach people right where they are. Thank you for the example that Jesus went and he reached out and he touched people that the law claimed were unclean. He brought love and hope to them, and let us be of that same people. Give us the power of your Spirit to do just that. And Father, I also pray that you would help us all to reflect and consider our story, to be ready to share what you have done for us, to testify of your goodness and your power to give us a new life. And finally, Father, give us boldness in this day and age that as we preach Christ, as we share about the bondages that we have been delivered from, that there might be people who are still caught in those bondages, and it might be a rough time. So, Father, even in bad reactions, give us encouragement to look beyond their responses and to be faithful to the truth. Bless your people today and encourage us to take the gospel to those who need it. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.